So I want to encourage you, go to the New Testament. We're in the book of Revelation, or not Revelation, Galatians, sorry. I'm all excited about getting to the end here, you know. But let's get going here in Galatians. So we're in Galatians chapter 5 is where we'll kind of land today. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses like 16 to the very end of 26, about 10 verses, we're going to see a list of things about like people that live by the sinful nature, which I used to live for the first 23 years of my life. There's a list of things that are sinful. Then we're going to see the list of the ways that if we live by the Spirit, if we have the Spirit of God in us, then we should be living this way. And so we could see two different distinct people in the sense of like those that act by the sinful nature. In verse 19, it says the acts of the sinful nature are very obvious. Like I don't even want to list them. I don't want to talk about them today. When we make mistakes, when we are in trouble or when we fall short or we sin, it's very obvious. We don't need somebody to remind us of that. I remember for the first 23 years of my life, I didn't need somebody to go around and remind, hey, you're messed up. You're not doing the right thing, da-da-da. I'm like, I needed somebody to love me. I needed somebody to say, you know what, there's a better day. There is hope in the future. I don't need somebody to remind me that I fall short. That's not really helpful. And so what should be and how should we live? In verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. And so we see this wonderful list of how we actually should live and operate. And what really led me to the Lord is that witness, that testimony that I saw in real people that lived it out, that acted it out. And so again, we see these kind of distinct differences. We're going to live by the sinful nature. We're going to live by the flesh, or we're going to live by the Spirit of God. We're going to respond to the Spirit. And when we do that, when we respond to the Spirit, we're going to see the difference. So in Galatians 5:21, it says, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And again, I didn't really follow the Bible. I didn't really care in the first 23 years of my life. But I felt like I was living a way that was destructive and that there was no hope in the future for me. I felt like I was going down a destructive path. I already knew that. But for those that live by the Spirit in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So when we catch somebody, as an example, so now that we're on the spiritual side of things, we're on the church side, we would say sometimes we're on the good side of things and, you know, we don't want to be on the bad team. You know, we've got to be really careful with that language because when we catch somebody in sin or we see something, a witness, or we see something being done negatively, I remember when I was working in retail for a lot of years, I remember just right outside the window, like there was this altercation between a man and a woman. I don't know if they were dating or if they were married or what was going on, but the man was just like beating on this woman. And nobody was, everyone's just walking by, just ignoring it. And I just thought, hey, there's a time in life when we do need to kind of step up to the plate and say, hey, what you're doing is not right. And you should actually stop doing that. And I might need to phone the cops. Say, hey, I understand that language. But on an overarching thing, when you meet and you have relationship with somebody that is going a different path, like, how do you respond to them? Do you just kind of point it out like, hey, you're a blockhead. You're an idiot for living this way. I don't know our response, but here, I want to just look at Scripture because I don't want to just tell you what I think we should do. I think Scripture is very, very clear how we should live our lives. And so I'm so glad you asked how we should respond. Let's look at this idea. The very next verse, we can see this important piece of information, the Scripture, the closing of Galatians says this, brothers, if somebody is caught in sin, and I wouldn't want to preach anymore, I would quit. If the Word of God would say something like this, when you catch somebody in sin, you should crucify them. You should stone them. You should beat on them. You should point them out and laugh at them and say, look, you're wrong. You're a moron. You know, if that's what Scripture taught us to do, I'd be in retail still. I'd go back to retail. But it doesn't say that, does it? Not even close to that. When you catch somebody in sin, this is how we are to respond. You who are spiritual, so those that are Christians, those that follow the way, those that are full of the Spirit, should restore them like with authority in Jesus' name. We should just get a big old family Bible and just beat them with the old Bible, right? Like, you better follow this thing. Does it say that? What kind of language does it use for you and I? Again, when I was caught up in sin, I didn't need somebody to beat me over the head. I needed somebody to be gentle. I needed somebody to restore me back to potentially what God had for my life because I was headed in the wrong way. And so we're loving. We're like, we follow the Spirit. We're full of love and compassion and patience and kindness and all these kind of things. This is what our community needs in Jesus' name. Yes, the gospel. Yes, we should preach the gospel. But how do you preach the gospel? You preach it like we just read, in gentleness with the idea of restoration. Like, hey, this person, there's hope for this person still. Don't ever write anybody off, no matter how bad it looks. We have hope in Jesus, don't we? We don't give up on people. Like, that would be operating in the flesh. Hey, you know what? Your flesh and your sinful way affected me in a way, and so now I will respond in the flesh and just be mad at you, and I'll write you off. I hate you. Like, okay, so let me be transparent here. In my house now, it's happened twice. Like, I'm ready to wig out. Have you ever had this where you've been hacked? Like, it feels like somebody is like broken in your house and stolen your stuff. Like, people have hacked my online and they've stolen some of my points that I collect so I can fly around the world and all these kind of things. And it's happened twice now. And I have security and I have all these kind of things. Like, it fries me. And when people phone me on the phone and I know they're kind of hackers and thieves, I said, if I could put my fist through the phone, I will punch you in the head. Click, you know, because I know they're scammers. Okay, so, but I still have to love them. Like, if I actually saw that person, you stole my points, I'd be like, God has grace for you. Will you give me my money back? You know, all these kind of things. But still, like, I have to have patience. This is for real. I mean, this is a funny situation. When it was happening, I was not thinking funny, though. On that day it happened, I was mad. I was like, kind of like, you know when you're kind of a bit upset and you try not to show it, you just kind of like, you walk around, a little bit of slamming door, a little bit like, you're just a little bit more stompy, right? And you know that, right? People know, like, you don't need to say anything. Your actions are telling me you're not doing so. I've seen you walk in this church sometimes. Yeah. You know, just like, okay, hey, you're eating your cookie, like Cookie Monster really fast. You're like, you know, you just want to get out of here. I understand that. Okay, so we all live there. We understand that there are times that we get super frustrated with things. But how we respond is more important. It's so important. People need to see that we would act differently. If we act the same, I can tell you the first 23 years of my life when I was looking at the world, I was thinking, I need help. I was desperate in need of help. I was just so broken. And there was one guy in my life that acted differently. Just like, wow. He knew I showed up to work drunk. He knew I showed up to work high. Never pointed it out. He said, hey, you know what? This weekend we're going to meet together. You want to come hang out with me? Hey, you know what? This is like, it's just always positive. He wasn't pointing out like, you're a dummy for showing up to work. I already knew I was a dummy for showing up to work. I understood that. But I was trying to escape from something till I could find something. Help them find something. Help them find something that's good. Because everybody's looking. Everybody is desiring something. They're just like, there's got to be something better. And I love the heading of this. Like, isn't the gospel so exciting? Doing good to all. Like, it's so clear. It's so simple. Do good to every. It's not do good to those nice people. Do good to those people that are generous to you. Do good to that nice neighbor, not the neighbor that, you know, parks on your yard or puts up a sign or whatever that you don't like. Like, you got to do good to everybody, no matter what they're going through. I remember one time I was in retail and my boss, you know, when I told you about last time in relationships with Joseph, sometimes you have good bosses and sometimes you have difficult bosses. I remember I had a difficult boss and I was like, this difficult boss said something to my wife, about my wife, to me. Like, I just, like, every part of me just was like, I'm putting the keys down and I'm walking. You ever talk about my wife in front of my face again, I will freaking freak out. Like, I will wig out. And I thought, the right thing to do right now is not to walk away, although I wanted to so desperately. My flesh wanted to walk out the door because I've been hurt before, and I know what that feels like, and don't you ever try and hurt me or my family again. It's not okay. But I said, suck it up, Princess Buttercup, and just keep working. And so I did. And then I remember maybe 6 months or maybe a year later, I got to hear the story. And it just crushed my soul, man. It broke my heart. This lady had got in a fight with her husband. And they had a nice summer cabin. They had a nice lakefront property. So they lived in town. nice out-of-town property. They got in a fight, and the husband said, I'm going out to the lake. I'm going to go to the cabin. On his way out, he got in an accident, and he was killed. And she could never forgive herself. And so she was just so mad at herself and that situation that it just permeated in her workplace environment as well. And so much so that it ended up affecting me. And so I could continue the generational problem, and I could allow that affect me, and then I could just walk out on her and be like, I hate her, and blah, blah, blah. Or we could respond in a spiritual sense, not my flesh. And I'm weak. I understand that. We all get it. In the flesh would have walked out, but in the spirit, I stuck it out. And I tried to be something different to her. Tried not to quit on her, because she had so many people that quit on her because of the way she acted. I said, no, I'm going to serve this woman. God has called me here. I'm going to serve her as well as I can. I don't even know where all this is coming. This isn't even in my message. These poor people in the back are like, where are we going here today? But I just feel passionate about this. I can't stop thinking about these ideas. Like, we've got to be different. It's got to look different. So if we looked at that word here in the scriptures in Galatians, and we see it in verse 1, it says, you who are spiritual should restore them again. How should we act? We should do it with gentleness. It only shows up 2 times in the New Testament. We see this word restore. Let's pick it up the other time here in 1 Peter. Because restore, you know, it can mean all kinds of things in our minds, the way that we would think of things, like restore a vehicle, like restoration on an old rusty vehicle. Or we can think of restoring a relationship. There's many different ways that we can interpret that, but let's look at it in Scripture. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It says this, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. And this word, if we were to look it up in the original, it means to like put in order, to make complete, to equip, to train, to aim for perfection. We are trying to restore people back to in the sense of like who God designed them to be. Yes, we're acting this way today, but that original blueprint, that original design is still inside of you. The devil hasn't deleted it out. The devil hasn't taken advantage of you. You're still a man or woman after God's heart. Let's kind of restore you back to that. That's our calling. That's our purpose. That's how we bring restoration to people. We pray for that in Jesus' name that this would happen. And look at where this lands in Scripture. It will freak you out. Now watch. Just go back 2 verses. We're still in 1 Peter chapter 5, go back 2 verses to verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert, because the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him by standing firm in your faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the whole world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And I know that it would say brothers, so other people that serve Jesus in the faith, the enemy is trying to get at them to understand that. But the devil is after every single person, and so we don't need to add to that. The devil's already trying to kill people. We don't need to add to that. Say, you are bad. You are no good. You know, what we need to do is bring the spirit. We need to bring life to people. Say, there is hope in you. God has a plan for your life. He hasn't given up on you. No matter how many mistakes you make, God has a plan for you. And that's what we preach. That's what we teach. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Don't ever give up. Consistency is one of the greatest characteristics that we underrate. You know, every time you show up, every time you pray, every time you give, it's changing our community. It's changing the atmosphere in Jesus' name. I'm just so passionate about this, that yes, our community, but it takes work in us first. It's so important for us to get that. We don't need to go around. The enemy already does a good enough job doing that, pointing all the things that are not well. How can we intersect well? Just on a practical note, I'm going to make a little kind of step down here. I've got this little kind of display here this morning. You're probably all wondering, that is a weird display for whatever, Christmas or Thanksgiving or wherever we're at. Let me talk about it a little bit. I better bring my paper with me, otherwise I might forget. So here are a couple things just practically that we do as a church, that when you give financially, these are some of the ways that we can intersect with our community. You don't need to give financially to the thing I'm going to list here today. Just give to the church, and these are the kind of things that we do on a daily basis. And I only want to talk about a few of them because The clock is ticking. That clock is always on my nerves, but here we go. We'll try and do it quickly. So shoeboxes, just so you know, as a church, we collect these, and that every 10 shoeboxes that leaves this church, on average, one person is finding Jesus because they're invited. These go all around the world. They get invited back to their church, invited back to Sunday school. 1 out of 10 people are finding Jesus through that. It's just a wonderful thing we can do. There's these brand new clothes here. So if you end up, not you, I apologize. If somebody, let's not go there, ends up in the overnight cells and you got wet or you're bleeding or something happened, you can get brand new clothes. We'll give you a brand new sweater and some brand new sweatpants. I wanted to put them on. That would be kind of cool. So if you end up there, that's what we do as a church. We just want to make sure we can show dignity to people even in that department. Here we go with our emergency kits. We did talk about that already with the kids' moment there, just about like if somebody is really like, now lots of the kids left the room. I wanted to be really careful with the kids at the front. But if somebody is on the street and they're keeled over and you know they're going to be there every night. I remember in the Yukon in Whitehorse where we lived, it was on a weekly basis, somebody froze to death outside. So we want to make sure that doesn't happen here. So this is just one way we can do it. And you've got to feel comfortable. Please do not feel any pressure from me. Some of us can do that, and some of us are, that's a little bit too much of an ask. That's okay. Don't feel pressure. But if you're able to, that'd be awesome. Hey, one of our home group Bible study connect groups are collecting puzzles right now because Terrace View Lodge, and I don't know if they just don't have a big enough budget for that, but we're helping them get new puzzles so that those residents can do a new puzzle because they've done the same puzzles multiple times now. And so we're helping them, just collecting puzzles. You can see on the side here on these tables, everything I'm talking about is over there. So if you want to just connect with it or know more information about it, it's over there. Hey, the food bank, I go there every couple months on Monday. From 9 to 11, we give away, bags of food to people because it's just really hard right now. We're trying to raise 4 kids. I understand that. Like the grocery bill, I'm thinking, what is going on here? Like, what are we eating here? Prime rib and lobster and prawns? No, it's just the price of food's gone up. So we love the food bank. For students that go to high school right now, so we partner with Rotary. They're already doing this. This is called like the backpack starfish. It's full of food. And so a kid on Friday can take the backpack home and make sure he has enough food for the weekend for him and his family. Like, that's lights out. What a great thing to partner with, eh? So the kid brings the backpack the next week, fills it up again, takes it home for the weekend, make sure he's okay. That's like, praise Jesus for that kind of stuff. And, of course, the Bible drive that we're pushing hard right now. Next Sunday, don't forget, just pray over that, please. Collecting as many Bibles as we can because we want to get them into people's hands because it's the Word of God. Like God gave us his word in a written form. I want to get it into people's hands. I want like 18,000 minimum to leave this church one day so that everybody in Terrace and Thornhill can at least have one Bible. Maybe they'll have a couple in their living room. But I think that could really change the environment of our community. Do you think that somebody having a Bible in somebody's hands in their home could do something? I actually think it could. And so we're praying for that. So these are just a few ways that we can, again, intersect with our community. So thank you for your generosity to help us to do that. Hey, I want to continue the story that we want to finish. So we're in Galatians. We started in chapter 5. We moved to chapter 6, verse 1. Let's just kind of continue that, and then I want to make a couple points here. So in verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens. You're going to hear a lot of each other, anyone, everyone, all. You're going to hear a lot of that language right here. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, we're under the subheading as well as doing good to everybody, to all. If anyone thinks he is something, don't forget you're nothing compared to Christ. He deceives himself. Each one of you should test his own actions. He should take pride. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. That's a whole other sermon. I'll be careful with that. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. We already talked about that. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap, thank you, Jesus, eternal life. Let us not become weary. Don't get burdened down. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep being consistent, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as God opens doors, as he gives you prophetic and divine appointments, let us do good to, again, the nice, no, to all people, especially those that belong to the family of believers, especially to the church, yes, but also to every other person. As we do good, as we're consistent, hey, as a church, I would think that our 90 years of consistency actually speaks volumes to our community. As we mailed out like 20,000 postcards, it's reminding the community that Jesus still lives in terrorists and that the kingdom of God is growing and that we're going to two services, whether they come or not. I'm really excited to go to the ministerial next week because I'm really hoping that somebody has a postcard and they go to the closest church. Like, hey, look at this. There's a church here. I should just go here. And they have the postcard. It's the wrong church. That's a win for the kingdom. I hope that there are all kinds of people going to other churches. I hope that all of our churches and terrorists grow and explode and get filled up. And that'd be awesome. And I got to just say this, because I don't say it often. If you ever felt called to another church in this community, please go. And when you get there, become a member. Start serving. Start giving. Start doing everything you feel called to do there. God bless you for doing that. You need to be where God has called you. Hey, I'm grateful you're here. I love you. I'm glad you're here. But if you ever feel called away, go with my blessing. I just want to say that. Go with God's blessing. If you ever move away, hey, God bless you. Go. Find an awesome church. Be a part of it. We are not hoarders. We are kingdom-minded. And we want the kingdom and terrorists to grow. So whatever that would look like, just do it. Be obedient. Don't be obedient to me. Be obedient to God and go where God leads you and calls you and do it awesomely. And if you don't do it awesomely, don't tell them you came from the Pentecost. I already told that to you before. I need to say that out loud. No, I'm just joking with you. No, don't mess around. So the family of believers, yes, that's really sweet. So we need each other. We need to continue to develop the community within our church so that we can reach the community of terrorists. I have this... This one statement here that I just heard recently at a conference, it said that a fragmented church that's disunified and not together and unified, it's not us, I'm just saying this in general, how could we ever reach a fragmented world? If we don't have it together here, if you don't have it together here, how could you ever witness to people? So we've got to make sure that we take care of ourselves, we take care of our church. And it refers to and it speaks into, so Ephesians. So we're in Galatians, we're just going to go to the very next book. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Just one verse here. From him, the whole body, Ephesians 4, 16, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up so that we can have nicer carpets and bigger buildings, so it can build itself up in love. As each part does its work, praise God, we've got wonderful people that work together. And because we do that, then the results are, we look at the results. What are the results? We are reaching our community. We are impacting terrorists in a way. You are impacting terrorists because of your faithfulness to God. That's the kind of things that God is asking us to do. We can't just go, oh, yeah, we're just going to just go into our community, just go, and just go. And then, but we're not together, and we're not organized, and we're not in community. And when they show up, they see, well, we don't look any different than the other kind of groups I'm a part of. But when they come to the church, they do feel, and I hope you feel, you're like, wow, it's different in the kingdom. It's different in Christianity. It's not about the walls or the denomination. It's different in the Spirit. When I'm close to the Spirit, when I'm close to the Spirit of God, things are different. Wow, we're in overtime. I got to wrap this up. I'm going to get fired here. Oh, I'm the boss. I can't fire myself. Okay. I saw this post on Facebook, and then I will conclude this, I promise. And it said, I'm looking for a community outside of the dating app. Where should I go? And I saw a bunch of you lean in going, the Paris Pentecostal has an adult social and these kind of things. I thought that was so cool. But I just thought, you know, it's true. People are looking. They're sick and tired of their phone. They played on that for long enough. Now they're bored. And they're looking for something genuine. They're looking for something real. They're looking for something face-to-face. And I think the community of the church has something to say about that. I think the church has something that they can do about that. So another way that we connect with our community. Now I'm going to give you some statistics here and then we're going to finish this off. I honestly, I I'm not happy about it. I never wanted to go online. I do not want to be one of those celebrity churches and pastors and that kind of stuff. But I just know that there are people on social media that to communicate to them, we had to go on there. And so I want to give you a slide this morning that shows you, well, we sent out all these postcards into people's mailboxes as we put them in newspapers, as we hand-delivered them. That was one way we communicated to our community. And the other way we communicated to our community was online. Like when we went online, we actually, it was the results far, was beyond what we, our expectation of what had happened. Like 130,000 views were on our communication. We're going to two services. Like that's unbelievable. I was a little freaked out. I thought there's only 18,000 people in Terrace, and how did we get 130,000, views of the stuff that we were putting out there? It doesn't even add up. And 90% of them weren't like church-going people or following our page or following our online stuff. They were just like complete strangers. And 650 people actually looked at it and went, and pushed the button and went through and looked at our website and that kind of stuff. If 650 people, new people show up here, we're really in trouble. I'm a little concerned with that. But so anyways, let's just get that slide off the screen. That's not what's important. What's important is that we were trying to make sure that people knew that the gospel, that Jesus, that the church is alive and it's doing something in our community. And that was the whole point. If they don't come to our church, that's okay. I just wanted them to know that. If they go to another church, that's awesome. Please do that. But let's kind of just recap this message this morning. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good. Man, 90 years of faithful ministry in this community. Let's do another 90 together. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up on our community. Don't give up on your neighbor. Don't give up on your coworker. Continue consistency, leaning in. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as the doors are open that God opens for us, let us do good to every single human being, all people. And then especially to those that belong to the family of believers, especially to the church. Let's be united on what God is doing in our community with the thought that God is saving our community, with the thought that God has a plan and a purpose for our community, that the devil's not winning, that God is winning in Jesus' name over our community. Let's pray together. So, Father, as we look at your word, as we kind of conclude and wrap up this whole series, God, I'm so thankful for the truth of your gospel. God, thank you that the truth of your gospel is over our community. It's under our community. It's all around our community. That your truth is reigning far and above. It's supreme. It's the truth. And so, Father, as we look at your word today, may it minister to our hearts and our souls. May it realign our thoughts and our thinking about you and about the community and about how I interact with the community. Speak to us. Give us visions. Give us dreams. Those divine appointments, those open doors, Father, I pray that we would walk through them well in Jesus' name. Help us to do that. God, we love our community. And God, we're burdened for our community. God, we see the things that go on that we read about on a daily basis, and it burdens us. Father, I feel like what burdens me is my community. What keeps me on my knees is my community. What keeps me up at night or wakes me up in the middle of the night is a burden for people in this community. Hurting, broken, lost. Father, only you can speak to them. Only you can minister to them. But Father, you've asked us in your word to go. And so I see often the churches over the doors as they leave. It says, you're now entering the mission field. We don't need to go far. Father, help us to have eyes and ears like you have. Lord, we're just praying that something new would happen. Something would shift in Jesus' name. The heaviness and the wickedness would be lifted in Jesus' name. Those chains would be broken in Jesus' name. And the light of the gospel would penetrate, would go deep in our community. That the roots of our community would be founded on your truth and your word. Thank you for the authority that you have in that. In Jesus' name. Amen.